But I do want to take a moment this morning and help you guys out a little bit, because let me just say, the hardest part in life is to let go of some doubts. We have all kinds of cliches that talk about doubt. In fact, my favorite one that I say quite a bit is, I'll believe it when I see it. Everybody ever used that one before? We have our little cliches that kind of mask our doubts. And when it comes to the resurrection, there is some subtle doubts. Some questions as to, do I really have to believe the resurrection and believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, to answer that question, I can only give you Paul's answer. That if the resurrection didn't happen, then everything we believe is in vain. In other words, there's no hope. So we have to have confidence in the resurrection. And when you look in the gospel records, we see Jesus taking the time to prove that he did rise from the grave. He didn't just leave the grave empty. He made himself known and showed himself. And this morning, we're going to be talking about how he demonstrated that he rose from the dead. Because let me say, I know from my experience in my life and my own mind, I try so hard to reconcile the idea of the resurrection in a scientific concept. You know, we want to be able to see, taste, feel. That's the same one, isn't it? See, touch, taste, and smell the evidence so that we can prove. That's the scientific method. And Jesus did all that. And he demonstrated all that. And this morning, as we look in Scripture, I want to take this time to really help us understand that we can put our full confidence in God's power, and it's put on display through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Please join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have shown and that you have demonstrated to us. Lord, we come now as we open the word of God to our hearts and to our minds. May we allow these words to shape us, to move us into the place that you would have us be, guided by your Holy Spirit. May we trust in you always. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 20, starting with verse 26, we see John, who is an eyewitness to these events, he's recording this, and we know this because throughout his gospel record, he says, and the one Jesus loves, referring to himself. He makes it known through his record that he is there, that he is a witness, that he is a partaker of these events, that he just didn't hear about these things happening. He was a participant. What does that mean? He was an eyewitness. He validates everything that he writes by explaining that he was there and that he participated in these things. So here we have in verse 26, 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. Why is it important that he identifies Thomas? Well, the last time, Thomas wasn't there. Where was Thomas? He was missing in action. Chances are he might have moved on, went back to his old former way of life and said, it's over with. Jesus is dead. There's nothing more to do. I mean, let's put this thing in a little generalization here. These disciples were not friends before Jesus. Jesus was the glue that held these 12 together. If it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't have Matthew hanging out with any of them, because none of them would have anything to do with Matthew. If it wasn't for Jesus, Simon the Zealot would not have anything to do with any of them, because he was a zealot. He was probably notorious for being a part of some sort of guerrilla warfare effort. And so Jesus was the glue that held this group together. And we see Thomas as an example in throughout Scripture and throughout the gospel record. And he's the one that identifies with the Gentiles or the Greek audience. When the Greeks come before Jesus' death and want to see Jesus, they go to Thomas and they say, "Hey, can we see him?" And they said, well, he makes arrangements for them to be with Jesus. And so Thomas is not one that hangs around with this group. We see this when Jesus shows himself the first time, he's not there. And then they go and report all that has happened. And Thomas' remarks is interesting. He says, unless I can touch the wounds for myself, unless I can see him for myself, I'm not going to believe. Now, many of you this morning may have that same notion, that if I've never touched Jesus' body, I've never seen Jesus. Well, Thomas helps us with our unbelief, because Jesus helps Thomas with his unbelief. And so when we look at this, and he says Thomas was with them, the doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. So Jesus appears. You know, Jesus is demonstrating a fulfillment of his parables. He refers to himself as the good shepherd who is willing to give up the masses for one. And here we see Jesus coming back and appearing to his disciples for what? For the one who wasn't there before and was filled with unbelief. And so Thomas is there and then Jesus appears standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And then as he's there, he says, "Here, put your fingers here and see my hands and put your hand and place in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." See, Jesus is trying so hard to ease Thomas' unbelief, to bring hope through Thomas's doubt. And as believers, we have that same hope that Jesus wants so much to show and to demonstrate to us, that he is who he says he is, and that we can have hope in who he says he is. Thomas, in examining the evidence, in examining the opportunity to see the hands and feel the side and see the wounds and probably smell some pretty nasty smells, I don't care. I just don't see Jesus washing 3 days of death off of him. I mean, I've been around dead things long enough to know that smell it resonates and it lingers, doesn't it? I'm convinced that somehow or another, when you smell something awful, it gets trapped in your nose. And because out of nowhere, you start smelling it all over again, and it's like, oh, what is that smell? And you end up tearing your whole house apart trying to find, there's no smell. I don't smell anything. Why do I smell it? Baby duty can do that to you. I didn't say baby. I'm saying baby responsibility. Let me rephrase that. When you bring a baby in your home, everything smells like a baby. Now, when you first get that smell of baby in, it's pretty pleasant. But then after a while, it's not pleasant anymore. It hurts. It haunts you in many cases. And I could see Jesus there before the disciples in physical form, because he invites them, "Touch me, feel me, examine the evidence for yourself." don't disbelieve any longer, but believe. Folks, this morning I want to challenge us. Don't disbelieve any longer, but believe. Have hope in what is claimed through Scripture, what we see in throughout all the Scriptures that points us to the evidence that Jesus rose from the grave. And because of that, we have hope, because we have hope in His promises and that He keeps His word. And so when Thomas, after examining the evidence and looking at all that is there before him, he makes this claim. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's a blessing that has been given to us. I've never seen Jesus risen from the grave. I've never had the opportunity to touch his hands. I've never had the opportunity to feel the wounds or to smell his presence or to see him in a physical form. But I believe in what has been passed down from generation to generation. And because of that, he has given me a blessing that I can put my hope in. Folks, I hope you have that same hope. I hope you believe, though you have not seen it for yourself. You see all the evidence and see all the examples throughout Scripture and all the ways in which Jesus makes it very clear that he has done what has been said has been done. All these eyewitnesses. And John goes even further in verse 30. He says, "Disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." There is no greater name than the name of Jesus. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. There is no greater name than Jesus, because there's no other name that brings salvation to those who need that. We have hope in that salvation. Jesus proved he was alive. Jesus proved that he had conquered the grave by proving he was alive. When they first saw him, they thought he was an apparition. You know, there's evidence that we can see in Scripture that there's ghostly things that we could talk about, but the Bible's kind of steers away from those things, because we have a God that's greater than those fears. We don't have to worry about those ghosts and the ideas of ghosts. Jesus was not an apparition. He said, "Here, touch me, feel me. You can see that I'm real." There were times that he ate with them. He had demonstrated to them that he had overcome the grave in a physical form. He did that so that the evidence would be compiled, so that when it's recorded and put together, that we have the testimony of all these witnesses. We have the evidence of all that had happened, that we can have faith and hope in the promises that are to come. He doesn't want us to doubt. He wants us to believe. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced doubt in your life. When people doubt you, it affects you, doesn't it? It may bring you down. It may hurt a little bit. That they don't believe in you, that they don't trust you, that they don't have confidence in you. God probably feels the same way when we don't believe in Him, when we don't trust in who He says He is, and we don't have confidence in the promises that have been made time and time again. He has given us this book to demonstrate to us that He knows all the ways in which we would doubt Him. And He says, look, I prove it to you that I am who I say I am, and that I am consistent with who I say I am, and that you can put hope in who I say I am. And then you can look at the life of Christ, and you can see that He was God in flesh, that He had put on display God on earth. And the consistency of Jesus in His walk in the 30 years that He lived on this earth, and in the 3 years of public ministry, how consistent He was in His walk. He wants to put the doubt away so that we would have faith, that we would have confidence, and that we would have hope, and that we would have full assurance and what He has promised to us. So folks, believe. Don't disbelieve any longer. Have confidence in what you believe, and know that this is the hope for all eternity. And if this is the hope for all eternity, maybe we should spend more time reading it, examining it, understanding it for ourselves. I know how much religious material is out there right now. I have some of it right in front of me on my tablet. There's so many books and so many authors have compiled all this information, all this stuff. And there are people that spend all their days reading all that information, but they don't spend enough time in this for themselves. The Word of God was given to us for a reason. It was given to us so that we may see God through it and examine it for ourselves and come to our own conclusions. And that we could build our own relationship with God the Father for ourselves. Not putting stake in other people's relationship, but putting our hope in our own relationship with God. Nobody wants to be loved another person's way. I remember a few years ago, they put out the movie Fireproof. And in the movie Fireproof, there was a whole journal, a whole thing of a workbook that told the people what to do each day. Pretty cool idea. Then I started thinking about it, and thinking about it, I realized, do I want my wife to love me another person's way, or do I want her to show me her love her way, and her affection her way? I wouldn't want her to put on an act and to behave a certain way just because a book told her to do that. To build her marriage or to strengthen her relationship with her husband. I would much rather her be herself and be open to show herself to me and to welcome me to show myself to her. And so in our relationship, there's different things. Valentine's Day, we don't really do much. I got in trouble this year for that. Not by my wife, because she wasn't expecting anything. But so often, people want us to do things their way instead of truly understand we have our own ways of doing things. And in our moving, in our time of moving this year, we came across one of the first cards she bought me. It's hard to miss because it's this wide, and when you fold it out, it's this wide, and it's this tall. I begged her after that card not to buy me another one. I don't think we have enough room for any more of those. But that was something that her parents had always done, and so she brought that in, and I started to explain to her, I'm not big on these type of things. I put them in notebooks, and I've gone through my notebooks here recently, gotten rid of a lot of cards, because it's easy to get lost in the affection, but you don't ever hear the words from a person's mouth, I love you. I'd rather be able to tell the person I love them than to buy a card and it says I love them that in someone else's words. And see, that's what God has done. God has given us this book so that we can see for ourselves His love for us. We don't have to take someone else's word for it. We can read it for ourselves. We can examine it for ourselves. We can digest the words that are presented to us. And we can come to our own conclusions of God's love for us. And the evidence that we see throughout Scripture, the evidence we see in the eyewitnesses and evidence that are always present there for us to examine, to come to our own conclusions. God wants us to have our relationship with Him. Walk with Him your way so that He can walk with you His way. Because He wants you to know Him the way He knows you. So when we look at the evidence and we see the testimony and we see that Jesus proved He was alive by showing Himself, we also realize that we are blessed because we believe. Though we have never seen the risen Lord for ourselves, we never experienced the opportunity to see Him for ourselves, we have hope in all that has been presented to us. And we can put our trust in that hope. Proved Himself time and time again. Do not disbelieve any longer, but believe. Have confidence in your hope and live your life in confidence. You know, listening to all the stories of the people who've lived their lives in doubt and unsure where they who they were or who they are or who they're going to be, I realize God has given us an opportunity to know who we are and to have confidence in where we're going if we just believe in what His Word gives us. But I can't give you that. There's no sermon for me to preach. There's no writing for me to write. There's nothing I can give you that will give you the hope that you need. Why? Because my hope is for me. I can't jump into your mind and come to your conclusions for yourself. You have to come to your own conclusions. You have to come to your own understanding. You have to come to your own appreciation. You have to walk with God your way, because He wants that. We sing a song from time to time, come as you are. Do we truly believe those words? That God invites us to come to Him the way we are so that He can shape us up to be the way He wants us to be. I can tell you what this word says to me. I could give you all the all the examples in Scripture that help me in my walk. But the truth be told, you have to come to your own conclusion with your walk, which means you have to invest your time and your effort into reading this word for yourself. Well, what version should I read? There's so many different versions out there. There's the King James Version. I don't understand some King James versions. I don't speak that way. It's been lost. The vowels and the these and all the other things I don't understand it. Sure, I can rely on the Holy Spirit to guide me in some of that, but some of that lingo stuff, I don't think he even understands. Because it was the lingo of that time. There's the NLT, there's the NIV, there's the NASB, there's the ESV, there's all these different versions. Which one should I read? To that, I'll give you this answer. The one that you understand. The one that you comprehend. The one that you are willing to use. The best version of the Bible is the version that you're willing to read. Because if you're not willing to read it, it doesn't matter what it is. So take the time. You can go online. You can get resources. There's different ways you can examine the scriptures for yourself and come find the one that fits your understanding and appreciation. And I'm not going to get into the King James is written for the 12th grade reading level. Yes, it is. And there's some versions that's written for an 8th grade reading level. There's some versions that's written for a simpler reading level. That doesn't matter. What matters is the version that you're willing to take the time and to make yours and to appreciate what it offers to you. Because God wants you to come to him the way you are, with your understanding, because he knows who you are, and he has made himself known to you. And we see in this passage one more thing that we can put our hope in. The name of Jesus is the power, is the source of life. It is the source of life. There's no other name in heaven and on earth that a man can be saved. Just the name of Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, as he says it. No other way to the Father except through him. Paul says, and there's no other name in heaven and earth that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The name of Jesus is the name to know. You're not going to get to heaven. They're not going to ask you, well, what church did you go to? That's not going to matter. When you get to heaven, they're not going to ask you who your preacher was. I think it's going to be fairly simple. God's going to ask that simple question. Did you know my son? What's his name? Jesus? What did you do with that name? Did you have hope in it? Did you have confidence in that name? Because that name is the source of life. And life eternally. If you believe it. If you trust in it. And you live it out. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessing.